This is the LexisNexis Litigation Resource Center podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Lynn Devenny, North Carolina State Bar Certified Paralegal, on maximizing the use of paralegals. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. Lynn Devenny is a North Carolina State Bar certified paralegal employed by Elliott Pishko Morgan PA in Winston-Salem, specializing in workers' compensation and civil injury cases. A passionate advocate for the paralegal profession and the use of social media, she blogs at practicalparalegalism.com. She's co-author with attorney J. Griffin Morgan of Workers' Compensation Practice for Paralegals, which has been adopted by a number of paralegal programs nationwide. In addition to serving on the North Carolina Academy of Trial Lawyers Legal Assistant Division Executive Committee, she's serving a three-year term on the North Carolina Bar Association's Paralegal Division Council and is the council's technology chair. Lynn, thank you very much for your time and being part of this LexisNexis legal podcast.
Well, I appreciate you guys asking me.
Lynn, what's your background? How did you get into being a paralegal?
Well, I got into the legal profession basically back in 1986, which dates me, I know. But I started out as a legal secretary for a general practice firm. I had not quite completed a bachelor's degree, but I liked the work that I was doing so much that I worked full-time and did an associate's degree in paralegal technology and then went back and finished the last year of my bachelor's degree in English literature. So basically, I got started as a legal secretary. I had got increased responsibilities fairly quickly. They trusted me to draft documents and write letters for them and, you know, gradually take on increased responsibility. So I became a paralegal both through training and on-the-job experience.
And in addition, you're also an author, a speaker, a blogger, branching out into many more areas than I imagine you thought you ever would.
Absolutely. We got contacted by an academic publishing company in 2007, I believe. My boss is a board-certified workers' compensation specialist and a lecturer at the law school, Wake Forest University, and they contacted us and said they needed a book about workers' compensation. Paralegal programs across the country did not have one for students. And my boss said, well, I'll be glad to write it, but I'm not doing it without Lynn because I'm not exactly sure what she does. So we wrote the book together. That went on the market. And during the course of doing some of the publicity with the book and meeting people, I got other opportunities. I started blogging because I like to write. I thought 30 people, including my mother, would read my blog, but now I'm up to about 8,000 readers a month. So it's just all gone, as you said, places I never expected.
Lynn, why is it so important now for a law firm to maximize the use of their paralegals?
This is a topic that is coming up everywhere at paralegal conferences, attorney listservs, various social media. It's no secret that big law is downsizing, that lots of people are losing their jobs. It's just more important than ever to offset the downsizing and the hiring freezes that have left law firms not only with fewer associates, but other staff members as well. You've got clients very budget conscious. They are cutting back on a lot of the services that they previously would have asked, and they are asking if paralegals who have lower billing rates than associates can perform certain tasks. Also, a lot of law firms are switching to fee-based or flat billing in order to meet their clients' requests for more economical legal services, and that's another reason why paralegals play such a key role.
Talk about some of those tasks that paralegals can perform. Obviously, there are many things they can do, but there are some things they can't do as well, right?
Well, I think everybody knows there are a few exceptions in small claims court, in front of Social Security boards, and a couple other areas in a few states, but most of the time, you know, a paralegal cannot appear in court on the client's behalf and certainly cannot give a client legal advice. But there are so many other things in the day-to-day business of a law firm that are billable and that are profitable that can be performed by a well-trained, educated, and well-mentored paralegal that do generate profit and income for the firm, drafting all kinds of documents from motions and complaints, various kinds of pleadings, generating discovery to other parties, answering discovery, reviewing and summarizing extensive documents, contributing to the writing of briefs, both the research and the actual writing of the briefs, a lot of the investigation that sometimes associates will do can also be done by paralegals, interviewing clients, gathering information both formally and informally. We could probably talk for the whole podcast just about the kinds of tasks that a well-trained paralegal can perform.
Obviously, then it's very important for a firm to take a look at the kind of work that the paralegals are doing.
Yes, and they need to look at what they're billing out. Of course, what's being billed out that they no longer have associates to perform if it's a downsizing or a hiring freeze. They need to look at what they may be doing themselves as partners or managers that they could delegate to well-trained paralegals that could perform these things, of course, working under the supervision of a lawyer. It is something that, an attorney can do individually, and then they need to have some brainstorming meetings or retreats and get together and really isolate, the kinds of things that their paralegals should be doing to help generate revenue for the firm, especially since many firms are changing the way that they're doing business, including their billing.
Technology has changed so dramatically in such a short period of time. But has the role of a firm's technology affected paralegals and their work?
Yes. And I had to laugh. Beverly Michalis has an excellent practice blog called the Oregon Practice Management Blog. And she recently did a post, and she was joking, but she said, you've really got a problem. If you look around your firm and you're still using an old version of WordPerfect, 5.0 or something along those lines. And I hear these tales all the time from paralegals. The software is not updated. We're using old word processing. We don't have case management software. We don't scan documents. I mean, there's just a lot going on out there right now that firms need to be aware of that can increase the efficiency not only of their paralegals but their attorneys, their clerical staff, that everybody can use to move faster, to do the same amount of work or more work more efficiently. And I'm not going to bill myself as a technology expert. I'm going to say that I'm very interested in technology. I'm very interested in it in our own firm. I'm very interested to see what other firms are doing. So if attorneys or law firms have been a little slow or a little scared of current technology, now's the time to start educating themselves. Ultimately, you may have to end up working with an outside expert or a vendor, but even just to be able to talk to that outside expert or vendor in an educated manner and pick a contractor, you're going to have to educate yourself. And I'll just sneak my little social media spiel in here because I'm a huge advocate of using social media for both lawyers and paralegals. But that's where you use it to find out what's going on today. Law firms are going paperless. Smaller firms are increasingly looking at cloud computing services, moving their documents outside of their servers in office, looking at keeping their files secure, looking at scheduling their meetings using online services instead of people having to make all these tons of phone calls and, just wasting a ton of time, using case management software also to eliminate paper and files, and all of the things that kind of drag people down and keep them from doing the more substantive, profitable work that generates revenue for the firm.
Do you have some advice for firms as far as their current paralegal staff is concerned?
Yes. You may have worked with people for a long time, or maybe you've worked with them for a short time. Maybe you don't know them, as well as you should in terms of evaluating their strengths and weaknesses. If you're looking at trying to maximize your paralegal contributions to your firm, now might be a time to pull out the personnel file, review the resumes, review their work experience, review the work that they've been doing for you. It's really a good time to look at their individual strengths and weaknesses. You may have paralegals on your staff who are just fantastic writers. and maybe they should be doing more drafting, more of the kind of substantive legal work that requires a skilled writer. Maybe you have other paralegals on your staff that are just amazing with technology. Maybe they're the ones who should be doing research in cases, doing the investigative work. Maybe they should be the ones putting together proposals for the firm to improve their use of technology. For example, we are trying to go more paperless here, and I have been assigned the task of figuring out the best way to do that. So, and talk to them. Invite them into your office alone, and then later as a group, and ask them, what can you do? What do you think about the firm's situation and the firm's potential to generate income? And do you have ideas? You might be surprised. They may suggest tasks and things that they can do that maybe you didn't realize they could do. I think that many lawyers are really surprised by how much paralegals can contribute to both independent case management and brief writing. And it doesn't mean that your paralegal may be ready today to do that, but if she has the potential, if she has the background and the education to be mentored and to be developed to this point where she's able to do these things for you, and I'm saying she because there are so many female paralegals out there, but, you know, he or she is what I really meant.
Sure. What if a firm hasn't used paralegals very much? What would you suggest?
You tend to see a lot of that both reported by paralegals and sometimes by law firms who've only used their paralegals on a limited basis for a limited aspect of a case, or smaller firms that they've used their paralegals primarily for a combination of clerical and administrative tasks, but they haven't really utilized their paralegals for substantive tasks. Again, this is where you're going to have to call into both your personal networking and your virtual networking through social media. You need to talk to other lawyers and administrators about how they're utilizing their staff. Research it, read articles. Encourage your staff to network, too, to take advantage of listservs, to ask questions. I love listservs. I love the ones for both attorneys and paralegals. And I'm lucky to work for a firm that encourages me to participate in attorney listservs as well as paralegal listservs.
And you encourage continuing education for paralegals as well, I imagine?
Absolutely. If you're talking about maximizing your paralegal's role in your firm's future, you're wanting to generate more income, you'd like your paralegal to be able to do more substantive, billable work, you need to invest in your staff's continuing legal and technological education. And not just paralegal CLE. I hear a lot of paralegals say, my attorney won't send me to CLEs if they're for attorneys. Well, if you have a smart paralegal who is working at a beginning or intermediate level but needs to advance to a higher level, and the CLE offerings for paralegals in your area are slim in that particular specialty area, you and your paralegal need to sit down and look at the CLE offerings for attorneys that allow paralegal and legal assistant attendees, and most of them do, at a lower cost than for the paralegals. And send your paralegal to some of those seminars and webinars. I have heard paralegals say, well, you know, I think my boss thinks I won't understand what's going on at an attorney seminar, and that is definitely not the case. Just being there and listening and reading the materials and having lunch and talking with the other people attending the seminar, this is how you learn. This is how you develop and reach the next level. Just leaving the seminar with the materials and the go-bys is just a huge bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you see the field of paralegals growing and thriving. What do you see the paralegals' role being in the future?
Well, and I think everybody sees that. I think with the change in the legal landscape, with the with firms trying to do more with less, with clients demanding more economical service, that firms are going to have to very carefully scrutinize both their use of technology and their staffing resources to become more efficient and profitable. And paralegals are going to play a huge role in these changes. So as we indicated earlier, you know, law firms are going to look to paralegals to do some of the things that they used to ask first-year associates to do, not just because they're not hiring first-year associates right now, but because their clients are demanding it. You know, their clients are saying, don't have that associate call my office. Have your paralegal call my paralegal. Or if the paralegal can draft these standard documents, you know, I would prefer, I'm asking you, that your paralegal do that and not an associate in the firm. So we're all having to listen to our clients.
That expanded role that's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a paralegal, and I think sometimes, especially in large law firms, people may lose sight of the fact that many of their paralegals are extremely educated. They have bachelor's degrees. Some of them have master's degrees. If you have extremely gifted paralegals on your staff and they've just got an associate degree in paralegal studies, considering encouraging them to go to school, giving them some tuition reimbursement to work on a bachelor's degree to increase their ability to contribute to your firm's future is definitely a good investment.
You've put many of these suggestions in writing on a blog.
I blog for the paralegal profession at practicalparalegalism.com. But one of the things I do through my blog is encourage all legal professionals, and I'm very lucky to have a lot of attorney readers who give great feedback and provide great ideas for my blogs. But, you know, the one grand aspect of blogging that makes it so much fun is following other legal professionals' blogs and these national experts that have this incredible body of knowledge about improving your practice, about using technology in your practice. And once a week, I do a Practical Paralegalism's recommended reading where I try to highlight five or six articles, including in the area of legal technology and practice management, that I think are good for legal professionals to see and to think about and to start thinking about all these new issues that are coming up. So I do blog at Practical Paralegalism, but I try to direct legal professionals to other excellent blogs that they need to be following to keep up with what's going on now.
You've brought up some very interesting points today, and I thank you very much for your time and for being part of this LexisNexis Legal podcast.
You're very welcome. I was glad to do it.
Linda Venny, North Carolina State Bar Certified Paralegal with the firm Elliott Pishko Morgan in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. This has been the LexisNexis Litigation Resource Center podcast. Visit the Litigation Resource Center and all our communities at www.lexisnexis.com/communities. The LexisNexis Litigation Resource Center podcast. Copyright 2009 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. LexisNexis, Total Practice Solutions. This is Steve Bursler. Thank you for listening.